In His name is power and healing. Do you believe that? Well, I believe it in His name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for the opportunity to speak words of life. We ask through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that You would speak to us in a very real way. Help that we might understand, more than understand, help us to love. Bless us now to this end. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to continue my series since these are the last days. And I have entitled the message, One of the Many. One of the Many. How could it happen? In 1994, we saw one of the worst outbreaks of violence of the 20th century. Many members of the ethnic group known as the Hutus, who were spurred on by their government, massacred their brothers, the Tutsis, 800,000 in less than a year. They say that the pace of the killing exceeded the destruction of the Jews by the Nazis. But you know what's most jarring about that account of the genocide, the attempted genocide, is the fact that because of the success of Christian missionaries, Rwanda had become one of the most thoroughly Christianized countries in all of Africa. Some estimated that 90% of the population was Christian. So how is it that a nation comprised largely of Christians would become a killing field where neighbors slaughtered neighbors? How could neighbors who regularly attend church pick up machetes and hack to death entire families? How is it that you can hear sermons week after week about Jesus? How is it that you can receive Christian education and behave in such a manner? Well, I needed to know the answer to that. And so I would like to share with you today one of the many and attempt to answer such a crime. If you would turn your attentions to Matthew, the 24th chapter that was so well read, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus' time on earth is about to come to an end. His ministry of direct communication would soon be no more. He is about to leave his mother and his brothers and his disciples. And so the final moments of Jesus' life are precious. And he gives back to his disciples something that they will hold precious, and we would too, down to the end of time. Matthew chapter 24, we see Jesus on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. They had a perfect view of the temple. It's beautiful. It's white. It's gold. It's glimmering in the sun. It would make, one writer says, your heart swell with pride to see the temple. And it's at this moment that the disciples are baffled by Jesus' statement in verses 1 through 3. How is it possible that such a temple, 40 years in the building, could possibly be thrown down and not one stone left upon another? And so Jesus tells them about the times, and he speaks to us. And the disciples are still baffled, because how could it be? It would be like someone predicting that in 2000 that the World Trade Towers would come tumbling down. Impossible. we would say. And so in verses 4 through 8 of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus, and the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For a few, what did it say, everybody? Many. I said the title of my sermon is One of the Many. So I want you to key in on that word, many. And for many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. All right, you're awake. Will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that? You are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are just the beginning of sorrows. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then a few, there it is again, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many, there it is again, many false prophets will rise up and deceive a few. Many. There it is again. You think maybe God's trying to tell us something? One of the many. And this is the passage that I want you to key in on. I was almost embarrassed about doing another sermon on Matthew 24. Because Seventh-day Advent is no Matthew 24. But somehow we always leave this verse. We kind of read it real quick and go on. We never say much about it. I'm going to talk about this today. This is the verse that I want you to key in. This is what Jesus says. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of... There you go. You're with me. The love of many will grow cold. What a passage. What a passage. That's how the Rwandan massacre happened. Lawlessness, sin, iniquity, love will grow cold in the face of lawlessness. That's what Jesus is trying to convey to the disciples and to us. It's sometimes hard to see iniquity in our own time. And even it's hard for the Christian to see the chilling effects of lawlessness. But I want to let you know today that evil can chill your love. And if we're not careful, we can fall into having a Laodicean spirit when we are surrounded by lawlessness. We have a tendency to separate the church from the world, and it's usually kept apart. But you need to know that the levee has been breached, and sin is everywhere. Lawlessness is everywhere. And when I was thinking about this sermon, you know, when lawlessness, sin, iniquity, same words, when it hits my home, you know what I do personally? I have a tendency it's not easy But when it hits my own personal home, lawlessness, sin, But I have a tendency to forgive. I have a tendency to still love. I love my children, despite. I trust they love me, despite. When friends disappoint me, and sin is connected with a friend, it's difficult and I'm disappointed, but I still forgive and I love. But when it happens around me and I don't know the individuals, I'm challenged. When lawlessness happens to someone else, or I hear it on the news, I get upset. I'm challenged when I don't know them. Jesus was trying to get a message through to us for the last days that we need to hear. Jesus uses a very interesting word in Matthew 24 and verse 12 regarding love. There are three Greek words that convey the idea of love. I know you're familiar with them. One of them is eros. That's the erotic love. That's the physical love. That's the sensual love. We don't have a problem with our love growing cold in the eros. In fact, we could pour some water on that. Am I right? That love is a selfish love. It goes to get what it wants. We do that real well in society. And then another word that the Greeks use for love is phileo. Or you know the city of brotherly love, where it comes from. That is a love that we all should have, but that's a love based on feelings. A love that is changeable. It's the kind of love, and it's a good love, but that's a love that can, you have to be careful. It can be selfish because it loves those who loves them. I love my brother, he loves me, we love each other. But Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 12 a word that challenges me. Jesus uses the word agape, a word that's connected with self-esteem and respect, but is controlled by principles. It's the kind of love that asks us to love unselfishly. It's the John 15 kind of love. The love that compels us to sacrifice our lives for someone else. I don't know about you, but I am challenged by that kind of love. You see, what Jesus wants us to know that in these last days, when you hear about all of the things that are going on, you have to be careful how you relate to that, because if you do not, it will chill your love. Your love will grow cold. And so I ask you a question. Are you one of the many? Are you one of the many? That challenges me, that kind of love. I want you to turn to Hebrews. I want you to see this passage. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning there, I'm going to start reading Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 14. This is what the Bible says. Pursue peace with all people. Now you don't, did the Bible really mean that? Do you think it could possibly, it doesn't mean all people. I mean, 90%, but not all. Now, you know that there's some people that this Bible not talking about is included in here. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now, if you sleep, I want you to wake up because I don't want you to miss this. Lest any... Did you see that word? Any root of what? Bitterness. Spring up, cause trouble, and by this, what's the next word? Many become defiled. Are you one of the many? Are you one of the many? Satan knows. And one of the ways that he can really get to the church is in the area of bitterness. He can divide a church. You see, a church divided against itself cannot stand. That's why I was so grateful for the study in Ephesians and on relationships. As the world hardens and forgets the law, if the church is not careful, the church can become just like the world. And become hard like the world. I'm embarrassed by some of the things that I've said when I hear of crimes and things that are going. I'm embarrassed by my statements. You don't have that problem. I'm challenged to love in those kind of circumstances. In fact, our prophet says something that I want you to think about. It says, when people make void the law by their conduct, which shows contempt for it, it's sufficient reason that we should come to the front and show esteem and reverence for the downtrodden law. That's 5 Testimonies 1:36. Let me tell you something. If we are not careful, lawlessness will have your love grow cold. That's why we have to be careful and not be connected with lawlessness, because it will chill our love. So if you, and what I'm going to say, it's controversial. We wouldn't have said this 20 years ago. If you're in a situation where abuse is going on, be it verbal, be it physical, be it psychological, or abuse of any kind, you have to get away from it. Thanks, Dad. I heard one amen. You have to get away from it. Because if you do not, your love will grow cold. It has to do with your soul salvation. I mean, years ago we would tell people to stay in your relationship under any condition. Lord, forgive us if any of our leaders said that. There's some conditions you do not need to stay under. Say, well, why tell this to the church? If you think it's not happening in the church, you are mistaken. But the point is that it can chill your love. That's why you have to get out of it. Do you think the world in which we live is going to get better or worse as it relates to lawlessness? So you might as well gird up your loins, because you haven't heard anything yet. How should we relate to it? We should relate to it by dwelling on the love and power of Jesus. You cannot dwell on the abuse and the lawlessness and the negativity. If you do, you will become bitter. We are to live the way Christ lived, and we are to love the way Christ loved. I'm going to share something with you that will make you feel uncomfortable. That's not my intent. A few years ago, I would have been uncomfortable just telling it to you. But I think any minister has a responsibility to teach and to educate its congregation. And so I won't hesitate and hold back if I feel there's a teachable moment for all of us. There were laws in the South called the Jim Crow laws. Jim Crow was a 19th century caricature of black people. It was a stereotype that was not true. The song and dance man. And I have to be careful because I'm probably sensitive to song and dance. And so they call these laws Jim Crow laws. And I hope that what I'm getting ready to tell you, that if you could just lighten up for a few minutes. Can you do that? I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to relax and smile through this. Is that all right? If you can do this, then you'll be able to get through what I'm getting ready to tell you. And I do believe that we as a church should grow up. So I don't hesitate to share. The only way that society was set up in the South so that blacks and whites would not be together at all. But they could not separate us in public transportation, buses and trains, because they just couldn't afford to have separate trains and separate buses. So that's why when you read and hear about the South, blacks still were on buses and trains together. The buses in the South had sections called the colored sections. The sections were not fixed. Most people think of them as a fixed section. The first four rows on the bus were rows for white people. The middle section was kind of a moving section, and the rear of the bus was for black people. I'm telling you to lighten up. This is humorous, folks. This is absolutely humorous. I know you don't think of it, but I want you to lighten up. Think about it. Some of the things that we do don't make sense. This is one of them. If we would have just thought about it 10 seconds, you would have seen how stupid it was. And so the middle section was a moving section. They had a sign. And the first four rows were for white people. In the middle section, black people could sit in the middle section. But as the bus filled up, they had to move back, further and further back in the bus, so the sign would move. 75% of the people that rode the bus were black people. So you can imagine the problem. They were always moving. Are you with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. They
Black people got on the bus to pay their fare. Then they had to get off of the bus and go to the back of the bus, to the back door, to get on. Now, I want you to think about this. Isn't that ridiculous? See, that is ridiculous. How do you run a company that way? So they would get off the bus and run to the back to get on. If the bus driver was in a bad mood, when you got off the bus to run to the back, he would drive away and leave you. This happened to a lady some time ago. She got on the bus. She dropped her purse, and she sat down in the white chair to pick up a purse. The driver got so mad, so when she got off the bus to run to the back to get in the back door, he took off. And she had to walk home in the rain for 5 miles. No, stay with me. That's not the point. I want you to get this. Now, stay with me. March. March of 1955, there was a high school girl who got on the bus, a black girl, who refused to get up. But she did not fit the profile for the civil rights movement. So it never took off, even though that happened, you know, to her. And so they got her out of jail, and she went to the NAACP and sat down with counselors. And one of the ladies that counseled her was a lady by the name of Rosa Parks. Now, Rosa Parks, that same year, December the 1st, 1955, got on a Montgomery bus. Sat in the middle section, you know, that moving section. Guess who was the bus driver? She was a lady that had to walk in the rain years ago, 5 miles. She got on that Montgomery bus. I want you to see how good God is. She got on that Montgomery bus, and guess who was the bus driver? The same bus driver that caused her to walk in the rain 5 miles. James Blake is his name. We never hear his name. I've been curious to know where he's at. James Blake is his name. Is the one that challenged her to get up from her seat. Let me share something that she said about that incident. We often talk about Rosa Parks as being tired, and she was. But this is what she had to say about that incident. I want you to stay with me for just a minute. Stay with me. She says this about that incident. People always say that I didn't give up my seat because I was tired. But that isn't true. I was not tired physically, or no more tired than I usually was at the end of a working day. And I was not old. Although some people have an image of me as being old, I was 42. No, the only tired I was tired of giving in. And the rest is history. Isn't that something, how the Lord brought that together? Years later, same bus driver. And she knew who he was. That precipitated her not getting up. The Lord, you know, the Lord worked that out. That's why I'm standing in front of you today. Because the Lord worked that out in 1955. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? And you know why the civil rights movement took off? Because Rosa Parks, listen to this, was not one of the many, but she was a follower of the one. You see, anybody else would have been bitter. Are you with me? They couldn't have moved forward past that. But she was a humble, devoted Christian from then till the day she died. That's nothing but the love of Jesus. Why did I take time to explain that? To embarrass each other and the nation? No, we should be a little, you know, embarrassed by that history. But do you think the devil is going to be easier on us? you think our love will be challenged in these last days? You bet it will. We haven't seen anything yet. We are challenged to love those who hate us. Jesus, give me strength. How are we going to make it? We need the Spirit of God to make it. Amen? We need something we don't yet have, but we're going to have it to make it through these last days. I don't know about you. I don't want to be one of the many. I want to be a follower of the One. Would you commit yourself to being a follower of the One? That's how we're going to make it, is when we yield ourselves totally to Him. That's the only way I'm going to love somebody that doesn't love me. How many here today love me? Let me see your hand. Now, you're supposed to raise your hand after this sermon, right? And I'll raise my hand for you. Amen? Oh, that's what makes the church such a wonderful place. What an experiment in love. This is what this is about. This is an experiment in love. This is an experiment in the power of God. Amen? How could we have a history like we have a history and be together in church and not be at each other's throat? Do you think it's because we're so good and we're so smart? It's because of Jesus. Amen? We have the thing that brings us together as one. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not our history. We have nothing to brag about. It has to be Jesus. Amen? That's what brings us together. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We have so much to learn from each other. Amen? We have so much to love with each other. May God help us to first rid ourselves away from lawlessness. If you're in an abusive relationship, get out of it. Now, you've heard the voice tell you, get out of it. It'll destroy you. And if you need power to love, call on Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You are a great God. Lord, you look down into the stream of time. And who knew? Lord, if I had walked in rain for 5 miles, I'd still be angry. But you know what you were doing. You chose Rosa Parks, woman of character, who saw a greater mission. And the rest is history. You were in it all the time. You see this church. You see the pioneers, you see those, you see the young people in this church, you see those who are going to do great things, great exploits. They won't be able to do it without the agape love. Give that to us today. Bind us together as one. And we'll praise your name forever. Until that day when we join together in the kingdom of God and the earth made new. To this end we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.